What's going on, guys? Welcome to March's episode of Plus Club, the show where we play the games offered on PlayStation Plus throughout the month, and at the end of the month, we talk about it. My name's Seth, and joining me today, of course, is Chevy. Chevy, hopefully you're doing good. Hopefully you're ready to talk about Sifu, Hello Neighbor 2, and EA Sports F1 23. How you doing?
Doing okay. We just got done watching some anime, so that was fun to do. You can check out those on Tastyflix.
Link down below.
Yeah.
We just watched Solo Leveling, season episode finale. 12, the finale of the season. We just graded that season. So if you've been watching that as well, go check that out. Let us know in the comments what you thought of it. If you want to grade it over there, do that as well. And then Delicious in Dungeon is continuing. Mm-hmm. We watched episode 13. The show has only gotten better. So maybe True. You haven't started watching it yet. Maybe you start watching it because it just gets better. So, yeah, then we got other animes we're planning on watching.
Yep.
Like Sandland.
It doesn't end. It just goes season after season.
So. Which is great, considering there was a time that I fell out of anime because there were so many, like, not great animes coming out. And now I'm like, it seems like every season I'm like, shit. Like, if I was watching these more actively, I wouldn't have time to do anything.
It's rough. I watch a lot at the gym, though, so.
That's a good use of that time.
Yeah. Usually two episodes at the gym and one at lunch at work, so it helps me get through a lot.
Yeah.
So I have to be careful in both those places on what I'm watching.
Sure.
Because I tend to watch some trashy shows sometimes.
I get freaked out opening up X
when
I'm in public because I don't know if it's going to show someone naked or if it's going to show someone getting killed. Like, I have no idea because X's algorithm is fucking insane. So
true. Yeah, it's rough on there. Yeah. But yeah, otherwise I'm good. I'm looking forward to not only the next season of anime, but also the next month of PlayStation Plus games. So,
yeah, we're gonna find out and talk about that in a sec. I'm just happy to be filming stuff and relaxing because earlier today, and with your assistance, which I really appreciate, and I won't go too deep into it because it's personal shit, but I did my fucking taxes late. And
I adulted
today. And typically, I never look forward to it. I always hate doing it. A lot of typing things in. But the worst thing is this is the first year in my life that I actually had to file for earnings from YouTube and Twitch. You guys remember when I used Twitch? Long time ago. Well, I've been paid by them at some point, so I had to do that in my taxes, and I had to learn those forms and how to convert those into other types of forms, because apparently I'm not employed by YouTube, but I make money by them, so I'm technically like a business.
Royalties, yeah.
Yeah, making royalties, and next year I'm going to have to file for TikTok, so I'm just like, okay, at least I know now. Like, we got some insight on how that works. But that's been, like, a lot of my day today was a
learning process.
Was, like, researching how this shit works. So, I don't even make, like, anything off YouTube or Twitch. But one of the comments in one of the videos was, like, this guy was like, I made $37. Can I give it back? I don't want to be a business owner for, like, $37. And, like, I kind of felt that. Yeah. I've made more than that. But, like, I'm just like, yeah, I kind of feel that. Like, yeah. If I don't have to do this, like, I would just give it back.
Yeah, because there's always that weird spot with taxes in general where you make not enough for it to, like, actually matter too much. Mm-hmm. And they probably wouldn't even check you if you didn't file it anyways. But also, like, just enough that they still want their cut.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't care, but they want it. Yeah. Like, but they don't care about, like, you know. I was just thinking about, like, you know, what if I didn't write or type the right thing in or something? But, like, as long as the money comes in, whatever.
It should all be automatic.
Yeah. So, anyway, that's been fun. So, I'm glad to be discussing anime and video games. That's a better way to spend my time. And hopefully, after filming this, I can go play something. I'm just jonesing to play something. So, with that, we played some stuff. We're going to talk about it. But before we do that, let's find out what we'll be playing in April.
Yes.
And those games are Immortals of Avium, Minecraft Legends, and what's the small text on Skull?
The Hero Slayer.
Is that what it is? Yep. Skull the Hero Slayer. Now, I had never even heard of this Skull game before we had some people in our Discord link down below talk about it, saying they either have played it and liked it or they've been looking forward to playing it.
Yeah.
I've never heard about it before. So before we watch this, I looked up gameplay, and it looks like a 2D platformer, kind of similar to Dead Cells, which is right in my alley. I love Dead Cells. I bought it recently on my phone just because I could play the game all the time. Otherwise, Minecraft Legends, I believe, is that action strategy Minecraft game that came out not that long ago.
It's the newest one, but I'm drawing a huge blank on it right now.
Yeah, you like ride around on like horses and hit shit, but then you bring armies with you.
I vaguely remember.
It's got the multiplayer aspect. And then Immortals of Avium is a first-person high-quality game. I've actually played a demo of it on Steam that got overshadowed by everything that came out last year because it was a bloodbath, and nobody was giving a fuck about Immortals of Avium last year. And so not surprised to see it coming to PlayStation Plus so quickly. I heard the sales of it were like really abysmal, which is sad, but release windows really matter. I mean, 2023 was not a good release window for most games.
This year hasn't been either, so.
Yeah, this year has been it's been kind of buck wild with a lot of like the mid-tier games.
And huge games.
Yeah.
They're not short at all.
And the controversy of Dragon's Dogma 2, which is fucking wild to me. This ain't taste cast, though. What are we thinking about these games?
I don't know anything about Immortals. I'm sure if I watch some stuff on it, I might go, oh, yeah, I remember now.
It has that generic fantasy Egyptian look to it. And it's a first-person spell game. It's Hexen.
You are not selling this to me.
I played it. It was actually way better than I thought it was going to be.
Hopefully I'll be surprised. Minecraft Legends, I'm sure at the very surface level, will be a fun game. I can't imagine them making a terrible game. I don't know how much I'll love it, but it'll probably be fun. And then Skull, the little bit you showed me, kind of had a Metroidvania look going on. I'm not the biggest fan of that, but I don't, you know, every once in a while a good one comes out that I like. So
it really comes down to playability at this point. I can't play a platformer to have the nostalgia factor. It doesn't do anything for me anymore. Hasn't for a long time. But if the game plays undeniably really well, like Dead Cells, when I played that, I was like, this game plays like butter, dude. Like, it feels so good to play this game. If it's like that, then I could be into it. But it had a cool art style to it.
Oh, definitely.
But all these games have to have a good art style.
It's probably my favorite thing about perspective when games are made in that perspective is that they usually have like really unique art styles. And yep. I love that aspect because I definitely the type of person who will look up artists and check out their art and stuff. So.
Well, it's kind of amazing that whole art styles in gaming have been invented based off of the limitations of the tech in the 90s that we all grew up with, that people have that nostalgia for that, but then they want to use that and evolve it. Just like, you know, recently I've seen games that are evolving, you know, what PlayStation graphics look like in a modern era. And it's like, it's kind of fascinating to see.
I've seen a couple people make 64 style games too.
Yeah. It's interesting to see people take that old classic style that I think a lot of us gamers love and have nostalgia for, and trying to create games that look like that. Mm-hmm. It's and the 2D platformer is like definitely the pinnacle of that. Like I said before, if you're gonna make a 2D platformer, who hasn't at this point? You gotta stand out. And art style really, you know, is a huge standout for these kind of games to get people to at least play it and then find out if it's, you know, worth playing or not. So
you better make one of the games on Steam that you want to hide from your friends.
True. True. Anything else to say on this?
Nope.
So I've played Immortals of Avium. I was humoring buying it during a sale. It like had been out for like a month and it dropped down to like $30. So I was like, do I need another game? $30, that's not bad. But they had a demo. I tried it and I was actually, and we'll talk about it more after we play it, but from that demo, my impressions of that demo, just so maybe I can push some people to play this game I've heard so many people say negative things about without playing it. I was surprised by the quality of it. It's almost like maybe it is triple A, I don't know, but it's a high quality looking game and it played really interesting. So I'm looking forward to actually playing the full game of that. Although on a controller it's not going to be great because it's a first person shooter, but oh well. Minecraft Legends is a game that I as soon as we heard about it, wanted to pick up, but didn't need to pick up. So I'm just happy that I'll get it because this is a game I wanted to play. I know it's going to be solid. Like the teams that work on the Minecraft games, their job is to make a game people will play and have fun with, similar to Nintendo. I think they do a good job on that. And then Skull, completely off my radar, but now it is. And I'm going to play it regardless, but it looks better than I was expecting. So that was a good surprise already. So I can't wait to try it out and, you know, see why some people are mentioning it for the first time ever in our Discord. and now I feel like I'm like, oh shit, there's some hype behind it. Cool.
Yeah.
Let's check it out. So, yeah, solid looking month though. I'm looking forward to April. So, anything else? Let us know in the comments what you guys think about these three games. Are you looking forward to them? Do you want to play them? Do you not want to play them? Are you going to anyway? Let us know everything you think about in the comments below when it comes to these games coming up very soon. All right, so we played Sifu, Hello Neighbor 2, and EA Sports F1 23. I think we should probably start with EA Sports F1 23 if you didn't get a chance to play that. It is the ultimate F1 simulator, and that's only coming from a guy who's only played one game in F1. Maybe ever. I don't know if I've ever played an F1 game before, but for me, it's the ultimate pinnacle of F1 simulators. In it, you can race F1. You can do a career mode in which you can be the racer in that career mode, or you can be the dude who like plans all the stuff. I don't know what it's called, but manager. You're the manager. You still race in it though, which is kind of interesting. I tried it. But you make decisions, you have to talk with people, make decisions on those dialogues. You get to design your team, you get to hire drivers, stuff like that. So it's a manager thing. And then there's also a story mode outside of the career mode that I think it's called Breaking Point, Breaking Point 2, something like that, in which it's more of like a story fleshing out. There's like cinematics. You guys are seeing it right now. It's going to start with some old guy talking. I didn't pay attention to any of it. They're talking about F1, and as a guy who appreciates things that go fast, I don't know much about F1, so I'm not invested in that story. But yeah, it's got fast cars, tracks, no soundtrack when you're driving. It's a really quiet game. A whole bunch of stuff. If you're an F1 fan, I'm sure you're in heaven playing this game. We both played it. How about you start us off with your impressions of EA Sports F1 23 in March.
This one's gonna be rough because I mean it's a pretty simple premise.
Did you drive fast?
I at least tried to drive fast, I suppose. I mean I'm not the biggest racing game fan anyways, and then this is a very niche singled out game, especially in a time where like when you bring out racing games or sports games, a lot of times you have to like make a like, catch all games to try to get as many people as you can. So I'm just going to basically be speaking very ignorantly of the sport because I don't know anything about it, but started the game. I kind of immediately jumped into career because I figured that was probably the best spot for me to try the game. And I raced. Like, they felt like a racing game to me. It looked fine, and I couldn't give you any great details because I have no means of comparison really. So,
I have a couple things to say about this. If I just hop in, you can piggyback.
Take it. Cause I honestly, it's hard for me to even have like a strong opinion about this
game. I was thinking about that before we filmed, but I actually have some things that, I kind of picked up that I had things to say about. So I played the Breaking Points mode. I put like 40 minutes to an hour into it. I did like, I don't know, 5 races out of it. A lot of cinematics. Maybe if those are real people, based off real people, I don't know if they are or not. Maybe there's something to be had there in that story if you're an F1 fan. I'm not, so it didn't do anything for me. I was just listening to old people talk about cars that go fast. And I'm like, okay, cool. Then I get into my races. And it was kind of interesting because the races were a story. So it would start like in the middle of a race, and it's like you need to pass the 13th position by this lap. And so I had an objective, and I'm like, okay. And so I'm racing through, I'd pass the guy up, and it's like, you completed that thing. You didn't get first place, but that's not what you're supposed to do. You got like third place or something. And I was like, okay, that's weird. And then something would happen in the story. And the next one's like, okay, in this, you need to pass this specific driver because in the story, he did something. And I'm like, okay, so I'm like looking for the guy, I pass him. So that's kind of interesting, but no investment in that story. One thing I do want to say though about this game, there's only one thing in this game I think was like memorable that I'll never forget until maybe a week from now, is it has the best guidance line I've seen when it comes to braking in a racing game ever. Maybe another game does this, but I haven't noticed it. As everybody knows, unless you turn them off in racing games, there's typically a line on the track that is basically telling you where to drive. When I play a racing game long enough, I typically turn them off, unless it's an open world one, then I'm not going to sit there and guess where the hell I got to go. But it has this really cool feature where it goes from green to yellow to red, like all racing games. But as you're driving, the yellow parts are kind of like elevated and the red parts are like walls. And as you're coming up, they start going down. And it kind of gives you this visual of how much you need to be braking before you hit that corner. And it's very accurate. As soon as it's all flattened and green, you're going to glide right around that corner and you're going to be able to accelerate as soon as you hit the apex and come right out of it. I thought it was a really cool visual thing. So something I got from the game. Having played a lot of racing games, having liking a lot of racing games, I thought that was a good design. So I'll give it to him. One thing design-wise I'm not a fan of is I think the sound effects are thin and tinny. They don't have a beefy, bassy sound of an engine, met with almost no sound effects otherwise. The game is a very eerie hellscape audio-wise. While you're driving, you hear, and that's it. And I guess in real life, that's what you would hear, but it just doesn't have the oomph that I would want. So I guess that's the audio side of me having an issue with that. Racing is interesting because I don't know much about F1, but I know F1, they drive really fast and they're shaped to be aerodynamic and push them towards the ground when they're going faster and faster. And you feel that in the way they control, which I thought was kind of cool. These cars don't have a sliding feel when you go around a corner in a certain way. And so they feel very sticky. They feel stuck to the ground. And so it's kind of an interesting thing I had to adjust to from other racing games was braking and accelerating was like almost like firing a bullet. Like you come out of the corner and you lock in your position, your angle, and then you just accelerate all the way and you just go flying. And you can obviously move around a little bit, but it's very unforgiving on those corners if you approach them in any way, like you know, trying to slow down at the same time you're turning, stuff like that. You got to get your speed down before you're turning to really hit those corners really well. So I appreciated that it felt different than a lot of racing games that I play. I played career mode. I did not play the driving mode. I played the manager mode just to see what that's like. I made my team. I think I called it Team Tasty. I made pink and white outfits and cars, hired some dude who was like way cheaper than the top tier dude and had almost the same stats. So I was like, this guy's a bargain. I'm buying him. Yeah, you make a lot of decisions. It really gives you the like the simulation of sitting at a computer and like going through menus and reading your emails and shit. I'm like, I don't know if I need this kind of immersion, but I'm not the right guy for that. And then when you set up a race, you actually got to race. I thought it was just going to be like a, you see the outcome of your decisions. Cause you get to like tell your team how they're supposed to race and work together. There's a whole feature of this game that I did not experience that actually fucked me up a couple times when I was racing. If you hold or press R1 or something, you can bring up all these menus. And I think it's to direct people on your team to do certain things. I never did it. I pressed it once and then I was looking over while I'm driving like 500 miles per hour. I'm just like, bro, I don't, and I'm trying to get rid of it. And it's just like going up and down with the D-pad because I was trying to change my camera to cockpit mode. And I was just like, oh my God, get rid of that menu. And like my whole screen's just full of menus all of a sudden. I'm like, dude, I'm driving way too fast for this. So yeah, I know you can do stuff like that in the game. I didn't do it, any of it though. So if that's something I need to go back and try, let me know. Also, this game in career mode has a two-player mode that I kind of regret that we didn't try because the game's AI is set up for team. The team AI works. Like I was racing behind this one dude and his teammate was ahead of him. And when I went to overtake him, his teammate, the one in the back, drove out ahead of me and tried to block me. And I was just like, weird. I thought it was like a coincidence, but as soon as I pulled out, he did that, and like he was trying to make sure I couldn't overtake him. I was like, interesting. So it would have been kind of cool to try out that career mode, because it's literally a two-player player career mode that's supposed to be set up that you work together, basically. So I thought that would be kind of cool, but this also isn't like, you know, a high priority game for me, so I'm only playing it for the channel and, you know, no regrets, but I'm not trying to invest a shitload of time into it unless I'm really into it. And then what else? I did one other thing. I don't remember what it was. Maybe it's raced. I don't remember. But yeah, overall, the game looks decent. It's not the best looking game in the world. It's not the worst looking game in the world. It's fine. The racing actually wasn't bad. And, you know, that might sound obvious, but having played games like The Crew and The Crew 2, and seeing Ubisoft doesn't know how to make a racing game and make cars feel like cars, I go into games I've never played, brands I've never played before, or IPs, and I'm like, is this like a legit racing game, or is this like a fucking throwaway game?
Right.
And I played this, and I was like, no, it feels legit. And then, yeah, a lot of features that just felt wasted on me, honestly. But I can't really say anything negative about them, because it's not for me, really. But, yeah, my biggest complaint is audio design could be better. And, yeah, it felt a little bare bones in terms of, like, I guess just racing, but also not really though. There's a lot of features. There's a lot of things to do. So yeah, it was fine. It's fine. I feel like it could have been a lot better though for me if I was into F1, but whatever.
Yeah. I don't think there's any hope for me when it comes to the genre. So it's kind of hard for me.
I love racing games. So like I'm down to play games like this, but, just because it is so specific. I mean, like, you only get more specific if you played like fucking Daihatsu Simulator or something. I don't know. Some weird, obscure, specific thing. Because otherwise, yeah, it's like, you better be into F1. Otherwise, this ain't for you. So, yeah. Do you have anything else to add?
I mean, it's hard for me to add just because I don't even really care about cars in general. So, they're just boxes that are designed to get you from point A to point B to me. So,
you have any complaints about the game?
It's a racing game.
Did the racing feel fine?
It felt like any other racing game to me.
Yeah.
I mean, I honestly, like, it's hard for me to have any, like, deep opinion just because I have such a distance from of interest of anything that even involves cars. So,
yeah.
It's just very foreign. It's like asking me to speak Chinese, basically. So,
yeah. All right. Well, if you have nothing else to say,
no, nothing.
Let's jump into recommendations. Loosely recommended to everybody's into racing games. I do think not everybody's going to love it or really be too into it because it is so specific, but it is a competent enough racing game that if you are into racing games and you're just looking for something to play, you've played all the games, I think it's enjoyable. I think you could like it. So hard recommendation would be if you're into F1. You probably already play it. You probably know all about it. You're probably like, dude, you didn't do this. You didn't hit R1. You didn't tell your guy to do this. I didn't do any of that stuff. Enlighten me, please. Because I was really interested in it, but it's terrifying being interested in something you're trying to figure out while you're driving so fast at the same time. There was no tutorial for me about that system when I was playing, so I don't know how it works. What else? Cooperative games. I feel like cooperative racing games, it's kind of a rare thing still, which is weird. So even though we didn't experience it, I was happy to see. I'm always happy to see cooperative racing in games because so many games, it's like you're against people that should be because racing's a thing. You're racing people to win. But it is kind of cool to have that kind of inviting mode of like you don't have to be competitive with other people. You can play with your friends too, and so I always am happy to see that. So if you're looking for a racing game that has co-op, this game has that. So there's a recommendation. And then Sims, like Sims and management, specifically with cars, I'd recommend this because it is a game that is built around that. So if you're looking for a game where you get to manage a team, this has that. Other than that, I think that's about it.
Yeah, it's pretty hyper-specific. I don't think I could even add anything to that.
Yeah. Okay, so let's jump into grades. I'm going to give this a... going to give it a light B. I was going to give it a B minus, but like it was. No, I'll go B minus. I'll go B minus. Cause I kind of wanted to give it a C because it's just like passing. But there's a couple things about it I thought were like, you know, it gave it something like the breaking thing that one of the biggest things I took from the game is the line on the ground. But yeah, B minus. The game is fine. It's actually better than fine in a lot of ways. The way the racing feels actually feels good. Feels punishing when you drive into people. I didn't mention that. I don't like when people hit each other when they race. Unless it's a game meant for that, like arcadey, that's fine. But I hate playing like Gran Turismo and people are driving into each other. I'm like, dude, that's so annoying. And so this game, you get docked points if you collide with people. And it's unforgiving, too. If your tire hits somebody, it'll spin you out and stuff. So it's all about skill, and I like that. But it did kind of feel, in some ways for me, maybe because I'm not an F1 guy, kind of hollow, and the audio design did kind of bother me. And the story, maybe you do like the story, but that story was really boring. So it felt like, you know, typical EA sports filler bullshit story. So anyway, B minus. It was fine.
Yeah, it's rough for me.
Had a lot more to say on that game than I thought I would.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard for me to really like. I have zero strong opinions about the game, so
give it a C then.
I was gonna say I'm gonna give it a C, just because I don't know what else to do with it. You know, take that for what you will.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's know in the comments what you guys think of EA Sports F1 23. Did you like it? Did you not like it? If you didn't like it, what didn't you like about it? If you did like it, what's your favorite thing about it? What's your favorite mode in it? Do you like the story mode, the career mode? Do you just like to race against people online? I didn't do that. I typically don't like to race people online. Mostly because latency always drives me nuts. And yeah, what are some features in the game that maybe we didn't talk about that you'd like to enlighten us on? Because there's a lot of things there that I didn't get to experience. Let us know everything you think about when it comes to EA Sports F1 23 in the comments below. All right, next game we played in March was Hello Neighbor 2, which is the sequel to Hello Neighbor, which is a series that I'm confused on why they just keep happening. if you get a chance to play Hello Neighbor 2, it is a first-person stealth exploration problem or puzzle solving game where you play as, I think he's a journalist, investigating a mustachioed, skinny-legged, well-dressed man who kidnaps children from the first game, and he ends up getting got by him and is continuing his investigation after crashing his van in this town where you walk around a pretty vacant and desolate wasteland with a lot of platforming things everywhere and a house you got to go into and
a house.
Find a lot of stuff in with a cop who's an asshole. And then later I think you go to a cafe or something. I didn't beat it, but yeah, you walk around, you find pieces, you find where the pieces go, you find some tools that allow you into certain places, like scissors, you can cut things, and crowbar, you can break boards, or whatever. We both played it, yeah. And I go first, right?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm not going to shit on this game, because like I assume people like it, because they made a first one, they made a second one, so I think people are playing them. I never hear people talk about these games though. I did play the first game way back when, and I was like, oh, this is like a small little indie game. That's fine. And I moved on with my life. And then I played this and it feels very similar to the first game, except for it's like kind of open world, I guess. But yeah, I'm confused when I play it, cause it feels like, and I don't mean this to sound like an insult, but it feels like if you're going to school to learn how to make games and this was your project, maybe it is, then I just guessed correctly, but the game feels not like a game. It feels almost like a mod, or it feels like it feels unfinished, maybe. I don't know. So you start the game, you end up in a barn, and it's pretty straightforward, but like it doesn't really have a tutorial. It has like, it kind of does, but it's like very minimal. And then you just are set free in this town that has like nothing going on in it. Luckily it's pretty easy to just head towards where there's some flashing lights and a dude walking around, and you're like, oh, this must be where I need to go. But there's not like a whole lot of guidance. There's not a whole lot of like heavy storytelling, which doesn't need to be there. But like, I remember playing the game for like at the hour point, and I was just like, what am I playing the game for? Like, what's the goal? Because the gameplay's not there. I guess if you like the idea of figuring things out and finding things, the right tool for the right thing, that would be fun for somebody, but that's not fun for me. So the game for me lacks gameplay almost. It's just like wandering around this weirdly designed town, finding stuff to access more stuff to access more stuff. So yeah, I ended up going to the house. I mean, you guys are seeing in the footage. There's the cop who will just throw you out when he's walking around investigating. There's the tree house where you go up there, you find the scissors. You move the little knight around. It's like a little puzzle. You got to use a trampoline to get up there, but there's other ways to get up there too, because I noticed there's like platforms all over houses for some reason, and fences you can jump on, stuff like that. And then when you go into the house, there's like little puzzle pieces all over the house you got to find. There's like keys and like locks that you have to know the code to all over the place. So yeah, if you're like into that kind of thing, this game might be pretty decent, but I'm not into like any of that stuff really. As long as if it's a company, like if I'm playing like Resident Evil 4 and I'm shooting stuff and I'm, you know, there's a story happening and fun gameplay, and then it's like, oh, figure out this puzzle, I'm like, okay, cool. But when the game is just like, here's an empty town, there may be puzzles out there, go find them, I'm like, I don't really want to do that. Yeah, so I played until, I think it's a cafe. It's like the second area. And I just stopped playing because I felt like, and this is a rare thing for me, I felt like I was wasting my time playing this game. And I mean that as respectfully as I can by saying something that fucked up to, you know, hopefully the dev, if they watch this video, I really am not trying to insult you. I'm sure people like this game, but for me, it's just like really, it felt confusing why I was even playing it. It felt unfinished, felt like there wasn't much going on. And it just felt like, you know, the ambition of why you keep or continue playing it almost didn't exist. Like, I guess maybe if you played the first game and you know this dude's like kidnapping kids or whatever the hell, and you beat it, whatever the resolution to that was, maybe that has you amped up, fired up to play this game and go, oh, I'm going to fucking get him this time. And then you start it up and the thing happens in the beginning. You're like, I gotta finish this case. I literally don't know what the story is at all. I just know that guy grabbed a kid and dragged him off. I'm like, that's pretty sketchy. It's pretty weird. So, but other than that, like, I don't know what the fuck my motivation is. Like, you remove 15 seconds of a cutscene and I'm playing a game where I just spawned in a fucking empty town. And I gotta go figure out what the hell I can even interact with. That's the game. Like, it's borderline insulting. I don't want to say that though, because there are puzzles that I was like, oh, okay, I figured it out. Oh, okay. Now I got it. Okay. And so, like I said, if that is satisfying for you, this might be fun. But when I say the game could be improved, I mean like it could be fucking finished. There could be so much more to it, to flesh it out in a way that I feel like felt like a game. This really kind of felt like an interactive digital exhibit almost. It's like there's almost no gameplay. Even the stealth mechanics, here's a legit complaint. The stealth mechanics are awful and the AI is horrendous. There was a moment where I went to a bathroom because the dude saw me through a crack. So I appreciate that he could even see through a crack on a game like this. I wouldn't expect the sight line to be that great. But he comes walking. I can hear him. I get in the closet, which is just a huge easily seen through door on the closet. That's just ridiculous looking, but that's a nitpick, whatever. And I'm in there, and he comes in, and he's all, and he walks out the door, and he doesn't even, like, leave. He's in the hallway, and he comes back in. He comes, goes, I haven't even moved. I'm just in the closet. He did that, like, six times. He was just walking back and forth from the hallway into the bathroom, back and forth. There's no way out of the bathroom other than that door. And there's no, like, stakes. You don't die if he catches you. He just kicks you out. But I just watched this because I already am sitting here with a, like, critical mind playing this game going, like, this game's not that well made. Although I've never made a game, so what the fuck do I know? But I'm watching this guy's AI. I'm like, this game wants me to sneak around, stealth around and shit, but the AI just is broken. He's just walking back and forth like, I was like, this is ridiculous. So I got out and I just let him grab me. So I'm like, okay, just let's start over so I can continue doing this shit. Anything I could give this game is it has an art style. I don't know if I like it, but it's an art style. Everything's written weird. Like, stop was like S-P-O-T or something like that. Mm-hmm. They just, like, rearranged all the words. And some of the puzzles were kind of clever. Kind of. If I had the patience for them. But yeah, overall, I didn't really like this game. Like, I literally felt... I went on to the PlayStation Plus subreddit where I post Plus Club. And midway through the month, somebody had posted, they couldn't believe that PlayStation gave us this kind of shovelware, this kind of like unfinished game as a game for PlayStation Plus. And typically when I see people complaining on the PlayStation Plus subreddit about the games that we got and how they're not the games they want because they just want AAA games every month, which I do not identify with. I actually like the variety of what we get for PlayStation Plus. So typically I don't identify with that, but him saying that with this game, I was like, kind of agree. For the first time ever. It might have an audience. Maybe you really like this game. I don't know. But I'm like, you probably could have did better with almost any other game you could have gave us for PlayStation Plus. So, yeah. It's very rare that I feel like I'm just wasting my time playing something. But this game felt like that. Thoughts?
I mean, pretty similar, to be honest. I only really know the game by appearance. I don't really know anything about it outside of that. Know anything about it outside of that. Playing this game, you know, the way it starts out or whatever, I thought it was a little strange that dude takes the kid inside, shuts the door, then comes back out with the shovel and just walks at you while you can't seem to understand how to put a key in the ignition and drive away. And then he hits your window, and your response is to just take a sharp left into a barn. Like, that's
kind of crazy. He drives down the road, but then a thing runs out on the road.
And then he
commits to a left turn, and then he commits to driving straight for a while, and then hits the barn.
Yeah, and then
he doesn't hit the brakes.
Going through that puzzle, getting smacked in the head with a shovel, and then they just nicely put you into bed in a little house somewhere and forget about you. Like,
yep, that seems that tower.
A little weird to me. Anyways, that is very nitpicky. Like, whatever. My biggest complaint about this whole game is that they just let you loose. And I don't, as someone who's never played one of these games, and obviously it's a sequel, but like, I had no clue like what the game is. What am I supposed to do? Anything like that, right? I get a little bit of a hint in the beginning in the barn where like you have to like find some stuff to solve some puzzles. So I'm like, okay, there's going to be puzzles in this game. I get it.
Yeah, the barn is the tutorial.
Yeah, and then... you know, as I was messing around with the buttons, throwing my crowbar and having to go find it because it was in a bush somewhere that I had to go locate because I just chucked it.
you find a crowbar right after anyway, but when I was in the barn, I walked out the door, and as I was walking out, I was just pressing buttons to see what they do.
Yeah.
And I threw the crowbar, and as soon as I threw it, it's midair, the guy comes out and hits me with the shovel, and I was like, well, lost that thing.
Yeah. So, the little bit I did, I didn't do the treehouse part, which is kind of interesting, because I did one puzzle basically on my own and found a couple of the puzzles, and then I was like, okay, I just want to see what this game is like, and so I went ahead and I looked up a couple of the puzzles just to see them in practice, and so the safe inside that the cop, I don't even think it's a cop. I honestly think it's the dude just in a costume, like pretending to be a cop, but maybe. Regardless, because he just walks in the house like he owns it. And then if you mess with stuff, he'll pick it up and put them back where they belong. So
it's a crime scene.
It's weird. Anyways, the safe, I'm like sitting there trying to figure out what the hell the combo is, but then you find these children's building blocks. Mm-hmm. Along with a couple other things in the house. But anyways, you find those, and I'm like, I don't understand how this is, like, connected to anything. And then I know those are all different colors, and then next to the safe is this stupid little pennant above it, and they're in a color order. And so you put down the blocks in that color order, it gives you the password. I was like, that was not very... I mean, it's more obvious than the other puzzles, but it wasn't very obvious. And it doesn't have to be obvious. Obviously, you're trying to figure it out, but I felt like I had like no context at all. Outside, just kind of like try until you figure it out. The ones I ended up looking up, there is a 3-code spin lock behind a painting that opens up a room. I didn't see any clues to that beforehand either. So I just looked it up so I could see what was in there, basically, and then. The dolls that you get for the dollhouse. I would have never thought to climb on top of the little hiding closet and move the painting to find a cubby hole behind it. Like,
I only did that because when I walked into the kitchen, it's in this footage, I looked up and I saw in the vent the Hello Neighbor guy.
Yeah, saw that
toy up there.
But like, I wouldn't have thought to go try to click on the paintings or anything. Mm. Or climb on things, I guess. But I don't generally climb on stuff in games anyway, so yeah. Maybe I'm weird. But other than that, the town is crazy empty. Like, I don't even know why they let you walk around it.
Yeah, just teleport me to the house.
And maybe it makes sense later in the game, but in the beginning, like, I actually did everything except for the house in the beginning. I was just wandering around.
Yeah, for anybody who's, like, played through this game and is like, well, if you pay attention in the tower or whatever and look, it tells a story. Or, like, you find tapes later and it tells the story. Or, like, later the town... Our point is, like, we are coming to this game blind. It's a game they offered us on PlayStation Plus. And from the beginning on, a major reason why we didn't continue playing is because the beginning of the game didn't do a good job on motivating or introducing us to anything.
Yeah. And I think it's probably his biggest weakness. Biggest weakness is that, you basically threw a bunch of puzzles at me and said, okay, go. I was like, well, I don't know if I wanted to do that, to be honest. And I'm not the biggest puzzle fan anyway. So it had that going against it. And then it's just a stealth game other than that. And I'm the wrong person for that. You like stealth games, obviously. You've already talked about how you feel the stealth is in the game.
It's terrible.
But I'm not a big fan of stealth games.
This game feels like dollar store Outlast.
I didn't necessarily hate it, but like, I just don't love it either.
I don't
like.
I respect someone made it. I hate it because I feel like my time is wasted.
Yeah, I eventually just shut it off because I was like, I'm going to get what I'm going to get out of this game at this point. And so I shut it off. So, if I had to give it some positive thoughts, it does have a unique art style. It definitely stands out in that regard, which is important when you're making a game. Your game needs to stand out. There's so many games out there.
Also bold of them to have a game where dude's just kidnapping kids.
Yeah, dude's a piece of shit. So
maybe. I don't even know what he's doing. Like,
well, I mean, he hit you with a shovel. That's enough to be a piece of shit in my book. So
maybe he's saving these kids from you.
Maybe, but I didn't get to that twist. So. Yeah. Anyways, it's fine. So it's just not for me, I don't think.
All right. Anything else?
No.
All right, recommendations. Who would you recommend it to? People like puzzle games.
I'll say if you are in love with puzzle games and you just like... And I don't even necessarily just mean puzzle games. If you're like a problem solver and you thrive on like having no clues and context and stuff and you just want to get in there and like figure stuff out, you probably like this kind of stuff. I play games to relax. This is not for me in that regard, but to each their own. And also if you just kind of like quirky indie games, it's very quirky. for sure. Loosely stealth games, very loosely. And I mean, that's about it.
Yeah. If you like weird, broken indie games, like you like to laugh at, like, oh, this weird thing happened in this game, I would recommend it to you. Exploration games, kind of, I'd recommend it to you, because you explore a house in the beginning. There's other places too, but that town is basically, from what I gathered, pretty unremarkable in terms of things to do. What else? I don't think I have much to really add to what you had. So, if you're looking for something to, like, plats, you can get points or whatever the hell you get on PlayStation, or
trophies,
yeah. Trophies, whatever the fuck. I don't care about those, but I know some people will play games just for that. Yeah. So, I'd recommend it to you maybe. But other than that, I honestly don't think I could recommend it to a lot of people. So, unless they're like, oh, I played this broken game one time, or this weird game, and I'd be like, oh, another weird game is this. If you're interested, check that out, because that's a weird ass game. And that's all I got. So, anything else?
No.
Want to grade it?
Sure. I'm going to give it a... Honestly, I think I'm going to give it a D+. I did not enjoy myself. Similarly, I did feel like I didn't know what I was doing with my time in the moment.
Or why you're doing it with your
time. Well, I knew why. I had to for the channel. So.
Oh, okay. the game doesn't know that. So...
And, you know, I promptly uninstalled it when I was done playing it. Yeah. So, I just didn't really, it's not for me at all. So
a weight, just like doing my taxes, a weight was fucking lifted off my shoulders. When I stopped playing this game, I was like, that's enough. And I uninstalled it. I was like, I never have to interact with that game again. So D+, I'm gonna give it a D. Probably the lowest grade I've given in a while. I can't give it an F. It doesn't fail. It's you can play it.
Yeah, it's playable.
And I feel like if I was into what it was offering, minimally what it's offering, I probably enjoy it a little bit more. But this is just not for me. And I think it's also limited in what it does offer for people who are into that. So, if somebody was to tell me, this is a project I'm working on, I played it, I'd be like, oh, that's cool. Keep working on it. But that it's like a finalized game that you can purchase, I was just like, I can't come back to this. So D, that's me being fair. Let me know in the comments, of course, if there is a reason to keep playing the game. I'm not going to do it, but I am open to your opinion. Give me some hope that there's more to this game and I'm just not seeing it, because I went to a whole other zone too. There's nothing fucking there. There's a whole, you like travel there through a tunnel, and I was just like, what is this for? That, like, anyway, D. I'm not into it. So let us know in the comments what you guys think of Hello Neighbor 2. Do you like it? Do you not like it? If you do like it, what do you like about it? What are some things about the game that maybe we should know about that might make the game even more interesting? Reasons you like it, which I'm 100% open to. If you like it, sure, that's cool. Have you played the first game? Are you hoping for a Hello Neighbor 3 unless there is one? Let me know everything you're thinking about in the comments below when it comes to Hello Neighbor 2. Last game we played in March was Sifu. Sifu is the, in a kind of weird way, like a spiritual successor to Absolver in its combat, maybe. I don't know if it actually is supposed to be, but it plays so much like Absolver. It's weird.
Dressed up like Absolver.
Yep, true. In which... you play as a dude getting revenge. It's the classic story of your master, something happening to him, and you're going to get revenge for him. It is a close quarters, hand-to-hand, sometimes bottle-in-hand, melee combat game where you go to locations, you walk through and fight everybody on your way through. There's a lot of homages to a lot of martial arts stuff. There's a scene that's like Old Boy where the camera angle goes to the side and you just go through fighting everybody. And the game does a good job at, when you're doing well, making you feel like a real badass. The game has a very interesting and unique mechanic where when you die, it's not the end of the fight, but you do age. Mm-hmm. And there's a maximum age you can get to until you fail. But every time you age, you become more powerful. You do more damage, so you're becoming stronger. But what's the thing that decreases? Is it?
I don't remember.
Shit, I don't remember either. Once, I keep wanting to say like stamina or something. You only died once. Mm. Oh, I got to the club. Midway through the club, I was like 24 or something like that. I was playing sloppy though. I was like, just because I played this game in the past.
Yeah, I'm paranoid and defensive when I play games.
So. I was not. I was just running at people. Like at one point, I went in a room and I just like a bunch of dudes came running at me. I started running around the couches in a circle because I saw a bottle and I grabbed it and started throwing it. But anyway, yeah. So you go to locations, you fight through, you try to get through as efficiently as possible. And then also there's a skill tree. Every time you die, you can spend points you're getting from fighting people to get new moves. It's also another, it's kind of like a roguelite thing. You find them, you get to pick stat increases and stuff from them. I forgot what they're called.
The green things.
People played, know what I'm talking about. And game kind of feels like a roguelite in some ways, too. Definitely. Also, Dark Souls-y. There's always a boss. There's like a midway boss and then a boss at the end of the levels you got to fight who have unique moves and mechanics. And yeah, it's like Kill Bill. You're just going through, taking out all these generals on your way to taking out the dude who took out your master. We both played it. And how about we go into your impressions of Sifu?
Okay. So, similarly to the last game, I definitely appreciate what they do for the or with their games, because there's not a lot of games that really do like martial arts stuff the way these guys do, if anyone, to be honest. Which, from a visual standpoint, is a lot of fun to check out and stuff like that. And I also think for people who like games where they're very involved with like the button presses and like comboing and stuff like that, it's going to be really good for that as well. I'm kind of me just want to bash things a lot of times when I'm playing games as a melee person. So I kept my combos pretty simple while I was playing the game. I didn't really expand too far. I kind of just mashed punch most of the time, to be honest, and then just made sure my defense stuff was timed right. So fights were probably slower than they needed to be, but that's how I play games usually. So I was a big fan of the pipe. Anytime I could get one, I would use it to beat the shit out of everyone I saw, and it was very satisfying. It was not satisfying when they had one and I didn't, though, because defense gets a little harder.
Yeah, you gotta be on your shit when it comes to blocking.
Yeah, for sure. The level design is really cool. I thought they did a good job of like taking you on this journey where you go through, you know, all these different, like, you know, at one point people's homes and stuff like that, back alleys, etc. You fight a lot of people, which is kind of crazy. You know, for your revenge story, you seem to be fighting the whole world. So.
Yeah, it feels like a mix of like Old Boy meets like The Raid.
Yeah, the Old Boy part was, as soon as I saw it, I just kind of like chuckled a little bit. I was like, okay, cool, nice homage. It's definitely an iconic scene. And of course I had a pipe in my hand doing that scene, so it was great. Just walking through, beating the crap out of everyone in that regard.
It's cool too, because when you enter, it's like 3D perspective.
Yeah.
And then it goes side to the side and you're fighting through them, and then it goes back to the 3D behind the shoulder point of view. And everywhere people dropped, they're all laying there in the 3D space. From that perspective, you saw a 2D perspective. I thought that was really clever the way they did that.
Yeah, definitely. I did, at one point, you enter this room where it looks like, you know, there's a bunch of, it's like a bunch of tables in like a big open like warehouse setting. And I got pretty swarmed there, and that's where I ended up getting my death when I was playing. And then I saw the level up, or not level up, the age up thing. I was like, oh, interesting. So there's a mechanic to death, which I'll give him credit for. That's fun.
It's cool too, because your guy will actually like physically age. Like he'll grow like a beard. Or and girl. Like, oh yeah, for you can pick our girl. But yeah, I don't know what she looks like when she gets older. But anytime I've played this game, because I've played in the past, played it now, I just think it's kind of cool how they slowly every year just adds more to them.
Yeah, the only other game visually I can think of, and this could be a weird one, but where your age like had an effect on your stat progression as you leveled and stuff, was Mabinogi.
Bring it back, dude. Mabinogi was so good.
So it's a kind of a weird one, because I think it's a very underutilized mechanic in gaming, to be honest. So anyways, that aside, yeah, overall, the whole atmosphere of the game, the way it plays, the way level design is made, there's stuff to find as well, which is kind of cool. Like you said, there are those things you find, and some of them are in optional rooms too, which is nice. So you can miss them if you're not being thorough.
Mm-hmm.
And then, though a bit long, the boss fights are unique.
That's where I aged the most, is I got impatient because I've fought the dude before, yeah. Especially the first guy. I fought him before, so I knew what to expect. But like, I was like, okay, I want to get further. So like, I was just like run at him, and I was like, I got a couple of years. Like, I'll just just kill him as quick as I can. Still took a while, but yeah. I could have played it a lot. Like the first time I played, I was like, oh shit, like playing like I was like playing Dark Souls or something. Yeah. But this time I was just like, all right, dude, I just got to get your health down.
The bamboo.
Yeah.
Yeah. So during that fight, I do a combo or two, and then I like backed off, and then you jump in the bushes and I would just wait. And then is it a block or a parry? I can't remember. I did something that would basically knock him off balance. And then I just did a small combo again.
Yes, dodged.
And then I'd wait. Yeah, I did a lot of, like, I think it's parrying.
I'm not
100% sure. I played earlier in the month.
Yeah, if you hold it, you block. But if you do it right when they hit, you'll stagger them or whatever. Yeah.
That was my main thing I was doing, was staggering people.
Yeah.
Because the big guys especially are obnoxious.
My timing was so bad with that half the time. But again, I was not playing as dedicated as I could have, I guess.
I didn't play much further than that fight just because I'd pretty much gotten the idea, and it's been a rough month because a lot of big games also came out and I wanted to play them. So, but I feel like I got a pretty good idea outside of, I can't obviously comment on where the story goes.
Mm-hmm.
I do think it started interesting enough, though tried and true doesn't have to be original time as long as it makes sense for the progression of where you're going. And I think it did that. So overall, I think it was a decent time. I don't think I'll continue just because like the combat system is not like something I'm in love with. But I have like no complaints about it. I think they made a pretty fun game. I actually think it is a nicer title than Absolver, if I'm going to put that out there as well. So, yeah.
So I'm glad you brought that up, because that's the first thing I wanted to even talk about is we played Absolver, which was a game that I wanted to play back when it came out, but never did. And then it came out on PlayStation Plus. We played it. We reviewed it. And Absolver had something, but it didn't fully realize it. It had this really cool martial arts combat system that I hadn't really seen in a game. It had a multiplayer component to it, which is kind of weird. But it had minimal content. It had like things you could find, but not a lot. Like it felt like they had a really good idea, but they didn't know how to execute it fully. And so it's really interesting to see them when they first revealed Sifu. I was like, that makes sense that they're making that, because it looks combat-wise very similar to Absolver, just more refined, better thought out. And so it's almost like, you know, they had this really good idea, didn't land very well, but they didn't want to waste it. I'm glad they didn't, because this game really stands out in how unique it is in terms of the nebulous amount of melee combat games out there where people are just punching and beat 'em ups and stuff like that. It stands on its own because it has such a unique and interesting combat system that has more realistic, meaty punch sound effects. It's fast, but not super fast paced. Timing and positioning and all sorts of strategies come into play in every single room when you're in combat that makes this game really feel like it's Sifu. Like there's not a game you're going to get confused with when it comes to this. Maybe Absolver, but Absolver has a visual style that's very different than Sifu,
yeah,
even though you can wear Absolver, the outfit, which I did, I think, in this game. The story is straightforward, but it's good because everybody's going to want to play this game and get in there and start punching people. And what better reason to start punching people than revenge? If you watch movies that are similar to this, you want to live that fantasy. This game gives you that. I think it has a really clever intro as well, where you're playing as the villain, basically, coming through and taking out all the people who are defending the master, then fighting the master, getting some tidbits on that they have a past. And then when you take them out, you get to pick your character, when you reveal them.
It also serves as a well-done tutorial on teaching how to fight.
So. Yeah, super clever. Yeah. But then even more clever than that is there's a sequence after that where the dude whose master was killed is like practicing and almost envisioning his revenge that he's going to get on, mm-hmm. on all these people that were responsible. And so it has this cool like title screen sequence, not title screen, credits sequence.
Yeah.
It's red where you're fighting all these dudes and it's teaching you how to do certain things in combat while also giving you this like hyped up momentum of like, oh, we're going to go in there and start kicking ass.
These
like
are my targets.
It's a really smart and cool way to do a really brief, quick tutorial. In a game that is pretty technical in how you execute moves, having to hit like back four or up down or down up, whatever, to do certain moves. And then after that, you got to do another kind of move to continue. One of my favorite things was like sweeping the leg. They drop on the ground. If you hold circle, you'll get down and start punching them in the face. Another one is like up, up, and then triangle. You'll leap forward and hit them. And then you can continue hitting them after that, after you do like a, or no, I think it's down up to do a push with square, and after that you hold a button or you hit forward triangle and you are able to deck them in the face really quick after that. Like they're kind of hard at first to do, but when you do execute them, they feel worth it, because in a game where every single encounter in combat could cost you a year if you play sloppy, when you do execute the moves and they land, it makes a huge difference between this guy taking a couple hits and then getting a chance to hit you, or taking him out completely really quickly. It also makes you feel like a martial arts fucking master, just a badass when you take a dude out really quick. This game goes from frustrating sometimes for me to, oh my God, that was so awesome. Which is a really cool, feeling. They do it right. So, long story short, I'm glad they're able to bring that from Absolver into this when it comes to like the combat. Really like that. So yeah, and then the story's simple, works to get you going. The first area, I've played through a couple times now, so that's why I kind of played through it sloppily. But it's cool. There's all these like paths and stuff you can take, keys to open up, shortcuts, stuff like that. You can revisit these locations. If you fail, you can come right back. There's certain permanent upgrades you get, other ones that are temporary on runs, which I think is clever, because it's obviously similar to a roguelite without being specifically just a roguelite. Bosses are, I think I said this already, but unique in their mechanics and their moves. The first guy you fight him in like a greenhouse, but then after that he like, I don't know what he does, but all of a sudden you're just like seeing like a bamboo forest and you're fighting him there.
Bamboo,
so it's kind of cool, yeah, to have like a mid fight refresh of the scenery and changing the move. So like you think you're done, but you're not. I also kind of hate that too, like when you play like a Dark Souls or something and you're like, oh, I killed the boss, why were they so easy? And all of a sudden, nope, they're back, but stronger than ever. Yeah, this time around, I only played through the first two areas, the slums area or whatever the hell it is, and then the club. I had a good time playing the game. I don't know if I have any complaints about it, which is nice, because after the last game, I want to be, fair to all the games, but this one, I'm like, I don't got much complaints. The other one, I'm like, I got almost only complaints. I just had fun playing the game. I would love for them to either support the game, although I don't think it really needs it. It feels like a good like one-off game, or at least make a sequel or continue what they've been doing from Absolver to this and just make more martial arts games and get really good at making them better and better, because the improvement from Absolver to this is huge. Like they literally salvaged something from Absolver and made like a game that has been widely celebrated, which has been cool. I remember when this game first came out, people played it, loved it. I had so many people going like, have you played Sifu? I'm like, yeah, I played it. Like, have you beat it? I haven't beaten it yet. And they're like, oh, you gotta beat it. So there's a lot of passion behind it, so it's really cool to see. I always like when a dev can kind of course correct and do something that I think everybody is like more happy with. No Man's Sky just released their
7,000th update.
Yeah, and the memes on that have been really funny, because we're so post people being upset with that game, and so that's an extreme version of that story of, you know, someone course correcting, but you know, these guys from Absolver to this did a really great job, and this game is a lot of fun. And honestly, it's so good that whatever they make next, I will definitely be keeping an eye on, because they've proven themselves to have really unique ideas that they can execute on, which is important. So yeah, Sifu is fucking cool. Really liked it. And yeah, I think that's all I got to say on it. Anything else?
I don't think so.
All right, recommendations. If you like melee combat games, I would recommend this highly, because it's done very well. If you like challenging Souls-like style games without really the Souls-like elements, the mechanics, but like the, oh shit, you know, this is, I could die, there's, you know, punishing fights, definitely check this out. If you like those kind of boss fights, I would check this out. If that aging mechanic sounds interesting to you at all, I would recommend it directly to you, because it's the only game that really has it, and I think it's really, really interesting. It's interesting that as you get closer to failing, you become more powerful at the cost of, I don't know if it's stamina or if it's health. I don't remember. I think it's like you get less health but more power. So every strike is just like, because you're becoming a master, you're depreciating in age, but you're stronger because you're better. But yeah, if that sounds interesting, I definitely recommend it to you. If you like roguelites, I would recommend it to you. I would say loosely, but I think if you like roguelikes, you would like this. If you liked Absolver and you didn't play this for some reason, you should definitely play it. If you like kung fu movies, definitely check this out. I think it's a great homage to those. Or even Old Boy, because it has a moment for that as well. Anything else? You got anything to add to that?
I don't think so.
All right. Who went first? You?
Yes.
So I got to grade it. I'm going to go a really light A-. I almost want to give it a B+, because like it's not like a super deep game, but I think the originality of it, and I think them actually executing their idea in a way that feels good, because it would have been really easy to fuck this game up. Like, you're like, oh, it'd be cool if the game was like this, and then it just doesn't work out very well in terms of like how the hand-to-hand combat feels, stuff like that. That they're able to stick the landing, I think, says something. I also really appreciate small devs doing what AAA should be doing and like creating new ways to play games that are exciting and interesting and not just run by the numbers bullshit. So, because the experience is so unique feeling, for a beat 'em up type game, I'm going to give it A-. D.
No,
not for me.
Definitely not. So I'm kind of struggling, 'cause I like it. I just don't love it. I think I'm gonna go ahead and give it a really strong B+. I think it's a good game, though I'm not necessarily drawn to come back to it. I don't really have any complaints about it either. I do think for what it is, it's doing it really well. And it does have things I do wish other games had. Like, I do think the age mechanic is a fun idea. I would, you know, I like the idea of like maybe if you're younger, you're faster and have a bunch of stamina, versus like when you're, you know, more a young adult, you're stronger, maybe you have more hit points type of thing, and then when you're older, less hit points, slower, but you know, wise, you know, for example. So I don't know how to really explain it, but that kind of stuff is like a really interesting concept I would like to see fleshed out in more games. This game kind of plays with this, so that's fun.
I'd also like to see more hand-to-hand games have like a more slower but more dangerous pacing to the combat, that it's almost like Bushido Blade in terms of like walking up to someone and like decking them out real quick, or them hitting you and taking a lot of health.
Yeah. And I do think for most people, a more like robust and you know, complex combat system is a good thing. I'm not in love with that kind of stuff. I don't want to try that hard playing a video game, to be honest.
Yeah.
I just want to play, relax, and enjoy myself. This is a big reason I play RPGs, is I play mostly for features and story and less about like the action part. So
I really like the diversity and the abilities, but having to like press down up on a stick when you're already moving from somebody and you got multiple people swinging at you, it can feel slightly clunky. And I feel like you could do that just as easy by having just a dedicated button to do those moves. But then I could see the fighting game argument of, like, you know, you're taking away the skill aspect. So I'm not imposing myself and saying they should do that. I'm saying, you know, I for me personally, I wouldn't care either way.
Well, and I kept it. One I actually do think it's a little funny and a little ironic because I enjoy playing 2D fighting games, which are pretty technical. And yeah. Then I complain about action games being technical. So I guess it just depends on what I'm playing. But
sure.
And I don't complain in regards of, like, it's against the game. It's more of just a personal gripe. That's sure. why I'm not knocking it. I just, you know, I'm not in love with that aspect of it. But I do think it does it well. And so I do think it could be improved, though, as well, which is a good thing. And they've shown they can do that, and I hope they continue to do that. So,
yeah. Anything else?
That's it.
All right. Well, let us know in the comments what you guys think of Sifu. Did you like it? Did you not like it? Did you beat it? How far did you get? What's some of your favorite parts of the game? What's some games that are similar to it? Curious about that because it really does feel, for a game where you're just walking through beating people up, it feels very unique in how it executes that. And what's your favorite part about the game? Let me know everything you're thinking about when it comes to Sifu and all the games we played in the comments below. But that's going to do it for this episode of Plus Club for March. So thank you for watching. Thank you for joining me, Chevy. Mm-hmm. And until the next episode, have a good one, guys, and take it easy.